fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
You have just roared over the top of the hill, and this week is picking up speed towards the weekend. And 6 days a week, you get the American Adversaries on Drive Time, thanks to AM660 The Answer and the mighty Mercury Free Studio. This is Lair Adams, and you know you have to give Hamas an extra point for out-and-out gall. Now, they will not honor the ceasefire with Israel unless the Jews open up their blockade of weapons going to Hamas. Hey, it's all right. Don't shoot us till we reload our guns. This as the airlines freeze all flights to Israel for another day, while our president campaigns and plays his games of golf. Don't worry, however. Our host is here, and he's on the ball, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you so much, Lair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, once again for being with us on this fine Central Florida summer afternoon. That's right. We are the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time, and we are coming to you live on AM 660 The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't you forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. And being that we are live and we are a call-in talk show, that means you can call in and talk to us. And the phone number is 407-774-8255. And yeah, just real quickly, just imagine how much good Hamas could do if they spent more time trying to help people than kill them. They go to extraordinary lengths to do evil things. All right. But we got a fella in the studio with us today who goes to extraordinary length to do good liberty-type things. And, of course, I'm talking about David Levitt. Welcome to the show once again, David.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me back. Glad to be here again.
All right. And, of course, David is the chairman of the Seminole County Libertarian Party. He also sits on the board of the District Liberty Part Libertarian Party, and we're going to talk a little libertarian politics here. And he is also fresh back just a week or so from the National Libertarian Convention. So if you have any questions or comments, we certainly invite you to call.
He's also the owner of Refresh Computers.
That's right. The only place in town, as far as I'm concerned, where you need to be going to buy that system that you need, because you can get it custom fitted just to your liking and at the best price around. Isn't that right?
That's right.
All right. So, David, and by the way, we're working on having Dave Bray of Madison Rising on the show with us as well today. You know, just Friday, they're going to be doing a free concert at the Orlando Harley-Davidson dealership down there on in south of Orlando at 6:30, Friday at 6:30. So we'll speak with him briefly. But in the meantime, I want to start with David today. David, you know, the governor's race is coming up, and it's pretty big. How's it shaping up for Adrian Wiley?
Oh, man, it's getting better and better every day, Chris.
How so?
The Quinnipiac poll, the university that puts the big university that polled, they do polls nationwide on all kinds of races.
They're one of the more highly cited polls.
That's right. And they included Adrian in this particular poll, and who would you like to vote for governor of the state of Florida?
Right.
The last time they did the poll was back in April, I believe, and they did not include Adrian.
Okay.
But they had such a high number of others back in April.
As part of the poll. So he fit in that category of others back then.
Yes, and with a little bit of urging from Adrian's fellow libertarians here in the state, the Quinnipiac people decided to include Adrian in this poll. And he's at 9%.
Okay, now that's what Adrian has been saying. He had been saying that his polling was showing upwards of 9%.
That's right.
Now, this sort of makes that official. Mm-hmm. What does it say for the other two candidates?
Well, it says that the poll for Chris was it's amazing how you see this. In the high 40 percentiles, Chris polled unfavorably.
Okay. All right.
And also in the high 40 percentile,
Rick Scott
polled unfavorably.
All right.
And there were so many, I forget the exact percentage of undecided, but it was very, very high. So if you put all that together and the numbers of the percentages of people that knew who Adrian was only 8%, yet he got 9% in the poll. So that tells you something else.
Yeah, it tells
that's another story.
That people are looking for something and they're looking to the Libertarian Party, and being he's the candidate, they may not recognize his name, but they recognize the party evidently.
Yeah.
Or something is at work there. Certainly, you know, he has the potential to shake up this election. A lot of people think that, you know, if he's, you know, a viable candidate, which he obviously is, mm-hmm. that he will draw more from Rick Scott than Charlie Crist. Perhaps in a normal situation, I might agree with that. But this particular year, I would disagree with that because Adrian Wiley, one of the big reasons that a lot of people are going to come out and vote this time around, let's face it, is because of the medical marijuana issue that's going to be on the ballot. Now, if you think about who's for medical marijuana and who's against it, you have Rick Scott against it. You have Charlie Crist and Adrian Wiley for it.
That's right.
Now, who do you think is going to be, you know, victimized by the candidacy of Adrian Wiley? It will be Charlie Crist, if either one.
That's true.
And as I said, and as I pointed out here on the show before, it can cut both ways. In other words, the spoiler effect, mm-hmm. if you want to call it that. And by the way, Adrian Wiley's made it quite clear he's not there to be a spoiler. He's there to win.
He is
to
there
be
to
the
win.
Governor of Florida.
He's absolutely there to
and
win.
And all he needs is 34%, and he's in.
And I think he can do it.
Well, he's on the right track. That's for sure. All right, well, let's go to Eva because she has a question about this particular poll. Eva, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I want to know where they took that poll because you can make a poll say anything you want to. If you go to in a Democratic, now where I heard the poll, Governor Scott was leading.
Well,
won by 1 point. 39% of the people trusted Chris, 40% trusted Scott,
right.
And your candidate wasn't even mentioned.
And there are several, were you talking about, was it a Quinnipiac poll, Eva?
It sure was.
Okay, do you remember how long ago you saw that? Well, how recent
today,
is it?
Today, this morning.
Okay, but it did show Adrian Wiley in terms of, if you wanted to vote today, who would you vote for?
Well, 9%.
Right.
What I have to say about the Florida voters, if that thing is anything correctly, we got the dumbest bunch of voters that ever was.
because it should be a lot higher for Adrian.
I don't think so. Well, all
because
I could say
is I understand libertarian people aren't there for everything. Anything goes. Just don't mess with me. You can have anything you want. That's not the way society is lived.
Well, I think that the libertarians would say that 10 amendments to the Constitution is probably enough if you want to add on the ones for voting for blacks and women. But when you get to a lot of the other stuff, you know, they are adamantly opposed to big government. See, what you have here is the problem, Eva. And that is that as soon as you say, I want government to take care of X, Y, and Z, they're going to take care of the rest of the alphabet, too.
Sure.
All right. Well, that's what I'm talking about. So you must limit them.
Don't put it on their shoulders. It's our shoulders.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The libertarians are for personal responsibility.
Well, I don't like the libertarians because they don't stand for nothing.
Oh, but they do. They
no,
stand.
They don't.
Yes, they do. They stand adamantly for liberty. Do you not, David?
We stand for you, Eva. We do.
No, you don't stand for me because Chris can tell you I'm pro-life, and the way y'all stand, you don't care.
Well, no, that's not right.
No,
that is
not
absolutely incorrect.
Actually, you're talking to a pro-life individual himself, me.
Right. Well,
yeah,
she's talking
but
about the platform.
You don't care what somebody else does, and I do.
You see, what you want is you want to, the state to enforce that. What
no,
libertarian? Yes, you do.
What I want.
Yes,
the
you.
Want
no,
those
no. What you
I
want
to counteract the Democrats?
May
that's
I?
What
may,
I want.
May I make my point?
Yes.
You want the state to enforce the pro-life position, do you not?
I do.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. When you start going down that road, you have now given away liberty and responsibility over to the state. And that is not what the that is not what the founding fathers that is not what the founding fathers had in mind, Eva.
But we don't live back there when they were there.
But we still live with other human beings, do we not?
Exactly.
So the same principles, the same principles that they had to use to govern their society still apply today because human beings have not evolved to a higher plane yet.
We've gotten worse. How
exactly. And one of the reasons we have, excuse me, one of the reasons we have gotten worse is because we allow the government to do for us. We are not strengthening ourselves. We are not being responsible. We do not have strong spirits. We are weak because we want the government to do for us.
All I'm saying is you tend to lean to libertarians. I can't tend to lean to do everything opposite the Democrats do. I don't care what it is. Anything to counteract them. Because the libertarians are no threat. They're only
Well, all I can say to that, Eva, is be careful because liberals are like broken clocks. They're right
they
every so often, you know. Every
they
so
are,
so,
but
so you cannot to, you cannot wash them with a brush like that. You cannot say whatever the Democrats are for, I'm against.
I've lived with liberals all my life,
and I know what we're all on the same page as far as that goes. But what I'm saying is, you're discounting one of your biggest allies in the fight, actually against liberals, because the way to defeat liberals is to detooth, defang, if you will, the huge government that they use to impose their will upon us. But Eva, we got to go. We're up against the break. Thank you for appreciate the spirited conversation, David. I'm sorry for stepping all over your toes.
You did very well. Thanks, Eva, too.
All right, and I'll let you follow up when we come back, folks. Please don't go away. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is drive time, and we are coming to you live on AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, and we're trying to get Dave Bray on the phone right now. John, could you hold that up to Nick there for you, please? Did I do it again? Dave? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to do three things at once here. All right, we got David Levitt in the studio with us. We got Lair Adams and me, Christopher Hart. Nostradamus will be joining us shortly. And Nicholas Cicero is in the process of getting Dave Bray from Madison Rising on the phone. As soon as he does, we'll chat with him for a few minutes about this free concert that's coming up Friday. And by the way, that bump music there was from the Madison Rising CD. And I wonder if they got any new music out. Had you ever heard of Madison Rising?
I have not, but I like the music.
Yeah, he does a really great version. They do a really great version of the Star Spangled Banner. All right, David, let's get back to like Eva's comments and the poll that we were talking about. And you just pulled up a headline from the Tampa Times?
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Times. Yeah, the major newspaper in Tampa.
One of the two, Tampa Tribune and the Times. Yep.
Yeah, and then there it's a new poll. This came out at 12:13 p.m. today. New poll. Libertarian Adrian Wiley helps Governor Rick Scott catch Charlie Crist. So you see, Adrian was right all along that he actually does pull more voters from Democrats than he does the Republicans. And, you know, let me just quote some statistics here. Libertarian Adrian Wiley pulls 9% support, according to Quinnipiac University's survey, which shows Chris' 2% point lead would grow to five points without Wiley on the ballot.
And then you're still going to have that certain percentage that are going to vote for neither one of those guys ever and vote for Wiley.
That's right.
All right. Let's go now to Dave Bray of Madison Rising and talk to him about a concert coming up here in town. Dave Bray, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
We're doing great. How have you been?
I'm doing pretty good, man. You guys are on deep conversation over here, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. We usually are around here. Hey, but you guys play some pretty heavy music, I must say. And we just played one of your pieces for the bump music, and we're going to play a little bit of your Star Spangled Banner later on. And I presume you're going to play your full slate of tunes this Friday at Orlando Harley-Davidson.
Yep, Madison Rising will be down there at Orlando Harley-Davidson with the Concerned Veterans for America. And we do a great show after the speakers get finished. If you're not familiar, if your listenership is not familiar, the Concerned Veterans of America are a touring group of very concerned patriots. We have Congressional Medal of Honor winner Dakota Meyer. He speaks on behalf of his ventures and his story and his book. We also have Karen Vaughn, who is Aaron Vaughn's mother. She's a Gold Star mom. Aaron obviously perished in Extortion 17. And then we also have Sean Parnell, who is Outlaw Platoon, writer of the book Outlaw Platoon, the leader of Outlaw Platoon while he was in Afghanistan. And we're led by Pete Hegseth. And I can't say enough about Pete because he's been an amazing Fox News contributor, but an awesome leader on the road. So that's us. And then you tack on Madison Rising at the end with a great rock show. And I don't see why everybody in town shouldn't be there.
Dave, Lair Adams here. Speaking of the veterans, what do you think about the poor guy over here in Orange City in Central Florida being forgotten at the VA, and he wakes up and everybody's gone, and he has to call 911 to get out of the VA, who never saw him at all?
Well, I hope he wasn't trafficking 3 legal guns, and that's why they left him there. That's all I can really say. But obviously, you know, we make mistakes. People make mistakes, but you know, hopefully he's out safe and back with his family.
Yeah, well, he was.
Yeah, but yeah, they forgot
him. He was good natured about it.
Yeah, he was
made a video.
He did. But it's great that you're touring with these concerned veterans, because it seems like they're being forgotten in so many ways. I mean,
like the guy at the Orange City.
Yeah, we give them great lip service, but every so often, you know, something like that rears up its head, and like this whole VA scandal. So, did you begin this tour before the VA scandal broke? This had nothing to do with any of that, did it?
Which VA scandal are you referring to?
Well, I guess it's an ongoing thing. I'm actually talking about the most recent one, though, where they were not treating patients and not seeing them, and doctoring the books and a number
As long as you're not talking about the 900,000 records for VA application and VA treatment that just got burned and told to, you know, basically just get rid of it. And as long as that's not the one you're talking about, it could be multiples at this point in time. The VA, since it's been around, has been run apathetically. And it's one of those things that we just kind of have had to deal with, you know, being veterans. And obviously, with the war going on and where we stand now, it's a whole new ballgame. We have countless thousands, tens of thousands of men and women in desperate need for these monies and this help. You know, what we as the Concerned Veterans for America are doing are basically changing the status quo in Washington, D.C. about how this is being dealt with. And we're tired of watching tax dollars and community dollars going to things that they shouldn't go to, when they should first and foremost, and a lot of times, go to our veterans and our servicemen who keep us free. So that's basically the idea, is to change that narrative and change the direction and basically revenue flow towards where and who needs it.
And it's great that you put your group and your music and your talent right there to bring in the people, because I'm sure that has increased the impact of what the group is trying to do.
Absolutely.
Now, is there a website? I know you guys got a website, and please tell us that. But is there a website for the Concerned American?
Are you nudging me to the shameless plug part of this interview?
Indeed, I am.
No such thing as a shameless plug.
That's right.
Shoved towards the cliff and the end of this thing. But no, if people want to learn more about the Concerned Veterans for America or Madison Rising, you can go to either or website, CVA or MadisonRising.com, and you can find out where they are going to be, hopefully near your town. But I believe, you know, we are going to be in Orlando at 6:30 p.m. And then we'll also be in Tampa, Florida. And it's going to be a great weekend for the Concerned Veterans for America and also Madison Rising. And I hope some of your listeners are going to come out there and help us wave the flag.
Oh, I know for a fact they will. I've already had a couple of them tell me so. And how many gigs are you touring with this group with?
We've been on and off with them for the last 6 or 8 months, but we did a few last year. Ever since our recent sort of uptick, maybe you've heard about Dinesh D'Souza's movie called
Yes. Yes, yeah, and you're getting Lots of compliments for the Star Spangled Banner in that movie.
Yeah, Dinesh put it at the end of the movie. We re-record the video. It's been an amazing turn. And we've done, I would say, in the teens with the CVA. But we're scheduling a whole new schedule for the fall and into next year. So
okay,
we'll definitely be on the road with them.
Hopefully you'll be coming back again. Dave Bray, I thank you very much, and I hope to meet you face-to-face Friday night. But if not, rock on, my man.
Hey, send your listeners to Madison Rising. Make sure they get ready to learn the lyrics before I get there, okay?
Amen to that. We'll do.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart for SoundbiteRx.com. Once again, here to tell you about some of the brand new stories that you'll find today at SoundbiteRx.com, the best medicine in town for ignorance. All right, folks, another great story about the White House and the immigration scandal, and how the White House knew way ahead of time as this thing was developing that it was developing. Also, a story by, it's actually an editorial by Michael Barone on Obama and how bad of a president he is. Surprise, surprise. What's perhaps a little surprising is that is becoming more and more common in the media. Also, the terrorist world hates each other, but they hate us more. That's why they team up against us. But if perhaps we had a real foreign policy and a tough foreign policy, some of our enemies might actually see us as our friends. Who knows? Would be a whole different world, that is for sure. And then this. Of course, we liken politics to professional wrestling around here and use the analogy quite often. And sometimes politics and professional wrestling collide in the real world, just as they did this last Sunday night. And there's an article at SoundbiteRx.com today about the character Lana and her remarks regarding MH17. If you want to find out what happened and the fallout from it, you'll go to SoundbiteRx.com, where they got everything inside the ring and out. Go there, folks. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. And now, another edition of The Dumb and the Feckless, the true story of the blood feud between the Clintons and the Obamas, as told by Ed Klein. Once again, we go back to September 11th, 2012. Top U.S. officials, including the president, were told in the summer and fall of 2012 that Al-Qaeda African offshoots were gaining money, lethal knowledge, and a mounting determination to strike U.S. and Western interests, the Washington Times reported. The gulf between the classified briefings and Mr. Obama's rosy pronouncements on the campaign trail touched off a closed-door debate inside the intelligence community about whether the terrorist group's demise was being overstated for political reasons. With less than 2 months to go to Election Day, the president was in the home stretch of the campaign, and David Plouffe, the campaign's major domo, was now in effect in control of both domestic and foreign policy in the White House. Politics trumped all other factors weighing on the president. As far as Plouffe was concerned, two of Obama's most powerful arguments for re-election were, one, by killing Osama bin Laden, he had won the war on terror. And two, by refusing to get involved in Syria, he had kept the United States out of another war in the Middle East. If the truth about Benghazi became known, it would blow both of those arguments out of the water. Hillary was stunned when she heard the president talk about the Benghazi attack, according to a member of her team of legal advisors who was interviewed for this book. Obama wanted her to say that the attack had been a spontaneous demonstration triggered by an obscure video on the internet that demeaned Muhammad, the prophet and founder of Islam. Hillary told Mr. Obama, "Mr. President, that story is incredible. Among other things, it ignores the fact that the attack occurred on 9/11. But the president was adamant. He said,
Hillary, I need you to put out a State Department release as soon as possible."
After her conversation with the president, Hillary called Bill Clinton, who was at his penthouse apartment in the William J. Clinton Presidential Library in Little Rock, and told him what Obama wanted her to do. "I'm sick about it," she said, according to one of her legal advisors, who was privy to the conversation.
That story won't hold up," Bill said.
"I know," Hillary said. "I told the president that."
"It's an impossible story," Bill said. "I can't believe the president is claiming it wasn't terrorism.
Then again, maybe I can. It looks like Obama isn't going to allow anyone to say that terrorism has occurred on his watch. Remember, when he denied the Fort Hood massacre, what did he call it? I remember he called it an act of workplace violence. Hillary's legal advisor provided further details. During their phone call, Bill started playing with various doomsday scenarios, up to and including the idea that Hillary consider resigning over the issue. Both he and Hillary quickly agreed that resigning wasn't a realistic option. For one thing, Hillary was up to her eyebrows in the CIA's illegal arms shipments operations in Benghazi. She provided the CIA with its cover. She was complicit. For another, Christopher Stevens was the first U.S. ambassador to be killed in the line of duty since the Carter administration in 1979. And Hillary could be held responsible for failing to provide him with the necessary protection. Perhaps most important of all, if her resignation destroyed Obama's chances for re-election, Democrats would never forgive her. Her political future, as well as Obama's, hung in the balance. Tune in once again tomorrow, folks, and see how that balance tips with more of the dumb and the feckless. And now back to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660. The Answer, thank you once again for being with us, folks. An excellent book, but Blood Feud. I highly suggest you go out and get it. Christopher Hart, Lair Adams, David Levitt from Refresh Computers.
And Bill Clinton just left.
He sure did. And but we still have Lucas Paris, and he has got us live at Ustream.tv. So please go to Ustream.tv, type in American Adversaries, and bippity-bap, zippity-zap, there we will be right before your very eyes. So check that out if you have the opportunity. We appreciate it and appreciate you being out there in the audience. Nostra Dennis will be joining us momentarily. David Levitt, I want to go back to you. Let's go back momentarily to the school board. Well, not the school board. I mean, the Seminole County Commission election to raise the penny sales tax.
Oh, yeah.
Because there were a lot of things that got thrown around in that campaign.
That's right.
That were revelations that we didn't know about. For one, was Bill Ray Nissan was going to get a bunch of money from the county to fix up his repair shop.
Well, yeah, almost $1 million, $987,000 to be exact. And this is taxpayer money that would be going directly to that corporation. So that's corporate welfare.
In its purest form.
In its purest form. And it caught my attention yesterday. I was looking at the agenda for the county commissioners meeting, and I noticed that Bill Ray Nissan had asked for, they were requesting an extension of 1 year to complete the project that would net them that amount of money. And so I thought, well, geez, I can't pass this up.
So David's on the warpath. Yeah.
So I went to the commissioner's meeting. I got there. And when I got there, I had learned that they had decided to extend this.
In other words, he had to have this improvement done by a certain deadline to get the money.
Right.
And he's asking them to extend the deadline so he can still qualify for the money.
Right. However, the request to extend the deadline was extended. So,
the phrase ad infinitum?
I got to get up, you know, and say my bit and just, you know, got to publicly... Yeah. Let them know what, you know, what I felt was, you know, a gross misuse of taxpayer dollars by giving it to a company that, you know, and the interesting thing,
the guy's already a millionaire. Come on.
Well, listen,
I mean,
it's
a car dealership. They sell high-priced automobiles as well as, you know, moderately priced. But, I mean.
Guess which corporation suggested to Bill Ray Nissan that they move from their 1792 location over to Reinhardt Road. There was an organization that...
Orange County Commission.
There was an organization that did an extensive market study, and they told Bill Ray Nissan, you know what, you need to move over on the Reinhardt Road where the new dealership row is now, you know, because people tend to flock.
That dealership row was almost empty, though.
So, yeah, yeah.
So he could find a place over there.
So he could find a place. But guess who suggested that he move there? It was... Nissan Motors.
Huh.
Yes.
So
the parent company did a market study and told him you need to move over onto Reinhardt Road.
So
rather than go there, he used that study to go to the Board of Commissioners and say, look, they want me to move. What is it going to take to keep me here?
Right. It's kind of like a version of what the Magic did with the city of Orlando.
Now, if
give us a new arena or we're going on somewhere else.
Come on, because common sense.
A little bit of extortion.
Something like that.
Something's going on. And so here's the deal. If you live in Seminole County, you've been up and down 1792 in Seminole County. First of all, it's not a blighted area, okay,
right.
Which
sure.
is why they said they needed the special taxing district there. And secondly, you'll also notice that, yes, there are new dealerships that have left that area, and there's a reason for that. You know, it's just a natural course of the way business works.
It's all about, what's the old saying, location?
They had their heyday back in the day. Well, and today, that is
guys,
not the place.
A few months ago, I mean, I'm in the process of shopping for a car now, and I went out to Reinhardt Road, and remember all those dealerships, especially on the other side of I-4?
Yeah.
Most of them are gone. Giant, huge car lots that are totally empty.
Yeah, on the one side of I-4. If you're talking about the west side of I-4, those are gone. But on the east side,
they managed to stay, but they're kind of popping up,
you know, and over there, and you know.
But the bottom line is that he used that information to go back to Seminole County and say, look, you know, either I'm going to move or what can you give me to stay, basically. And so they coughed up $1 million.
Well, that's the way I was reading it.
That's the way it works. I mean, and oftentimes, you know, and the governor does this too. They entice businesses to come here by giving them tax breaks or out and out, giving them property and stuff. It's not that unusual. Let's recognize it for what it is, and then we can decide whether we want to continue to do that or whether we like it or not, instead of trying to hide it somehow.
Well, because I do what I do, I took it a step further.
Okay.
Because I can't help myself.
All right. And so you went and you went to the Seminole County Commission.
I did that, but I also went to Nissan Motors USA.
I see. And what did you see?
I want to see that detailed market study.
Okay.
That they said. They claimed.
Did they respond?
That needed. I haven't got a response back from them yet.
Okay.
But I've also written Bill Ray himself. It's Bill Ray, William Ray III.
Okay.
So, Bill, if you're listening, I'd like a response back from you. I'd like to see that.
So, sure. We only have his word that Nissan wanted to move him.
No, there was actually a letter.
That he could present as a commission.
There was a one-page letter that he got from Nissan America, right. Southeastern Division, that said that hey, you know, because of that market study we did, we really believe you should move over to Reinhardt Road. That's pretty much what it said.
Yeah.
But the market study itself was not included in the package. So I want to see the market study.
I did ask
Commissioner DeLauri yesterday after the meeting, hey,
have you seen it?
Have you seen that study? And he's oh, yeah. I said, can I have it then?
Yeah.
I'll get it to you. Okay, Bob, I'm listening.
Right.
I want it.
Send it on over, Bob. We're waiting.
We'd like to see it because, you know, for $1 million, you know, you're getting $1 million or a taxpayer dollars. I'd like to see that report, you know, if that's the report they're using.
Sure.
To say, you know, wait a minute.
Right.
You know, we're going to go against Nissan's wishes.
Right.
And stay on 1792 for, you know, we'll take that $1 million. I'd like to see that.
Well, I'll take $1 million to stay right here at AM 660, The Answer.
There you go.
Let's go to Dr. Dennis and see if he's up for that. Hey, Dennis.
Yeah, I don't have $1 million for you guys. I'm sorry.
No. We're going to get them to give the $1 million to us, you see.
Okay. I want a piece of that $1 million, guys. I want it.
Yeah, we'll threaten to pick up, take the studio and everything down the street to Orange County if they don't pony up the money. But Nostra Dennis, you're a resident of Seminole County. I mean, what did you think about that?
Well, I'll tell you what, every car I've bought here in Central Florida, I bought up and down that 1792 corridor. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Businesses come, they go, they move. That's free enterprise.
That's right. That's right.
And when the government tries to get involved in jiggling with that free enterprise by offering incentives or punishments, that's when things start going wrong.
Yeah, sure. You know, it used to be when I was a kid, the place you went to buy a car in Orlando area was West Colonial Drive.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. And, you know, you even had Art Grendel out there with his big old statue with the arm going up and down.
I want to sell you a car.
That's right. By the way, who went on to become a successful Florida legislator? Mm-hmm. Nostra Dennis, what you got there cooking?
Well, let's see. You were asking me to try to get some polling data about the Republican gubernatorial race.
Yeah, well, we went through the Quinnipiac numbers. Were you able to find anything else?
Well, did you see the headline of the Quinnipiac study? It was very, very cleverly worded.
Read it.
unknown libertarian confuses Florida governor race.
Isn't that great? Not so unknown anymore.
Confusing. I don't know what I'm doing here. Basically, what it said was that Wiley's 9% is pulling from both parties, but is pulling more away from Crist than it is from Rick Scott.
Yeah, and I've posed my theory on that, having to do with the evil weed, and that being it's going to be a big issue on the ballot this fall, and so it just makes sense. And by the way, there's a gubernatorial race going on up in Maine, where you don't have a Libertarian candidate. He's running as an independent, I believe. Mm-hmm. But he's also pulling heavily from the Democratic candidate on that ballot, which is looks like it's going to have – which he's presently a Republican governor, just like Rick Scott. Looks like it's going to reassure his reelection in Maine, which is, for the most part, a liberal-leaning state. Dennis.
Yeah, Maine, in Vermont, New Hampshire, those three states up in that corner of the Northeast are the ones most likely – for a candidate that's not a Republican or a Democrat to win.
Okay. All right. When we come back, you've got, speaking of the weed, you've got a welfare weed story when we come back. So stay with us through the break. We'll discuss that when we come back. You are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time.
And, of course, you know you can listen to us 6 days a week at 5 o'clock, Sunday through Friday. We hardly ever take a break except on Saturday. If you'd like to call in, Chris just gave you the number. And coming up in just a few minutes, we will finish our conversation with the wily and wacky Nostradamus, who knows so much about the past. We'll be right back, folks.
And we hope you're buzzing your way home right now, folks, on this fine evening here in Central Florida. 407-774-8255 is the number. Once again, we have David Levitt in the studio with us, other American adversaries, because he's a part of the family and the team as well. And you can be a part as well of this show by calling us at 407-774-8255. Nostradamus, before we went to the break, we sort of teased this story coming out of Colorado.
Yeah, and then you put a bumper in where Brian Blair is saying, boo, so we'll tell you about the buzz that's going on in Colorado.
Did you catch how I worked it in there, too?
Oh, yeah. You know, state officials out in Colorado, marijuana's legal out there, but there is a problem. They're trying to nip in the bud, so to speak.
Yes.
Now, in the past, welfare recipients have been caught using their money for things like steaks, lobster, lottery tickets, beer, Grey Goose,
don't forget,
even lap dancing.
I was going to say, don't forget the topless joints.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you could cash your welfare check and get singles back, but you can. Well, here, at least 259 times in Colorado, in the first 6 months of legalized recreational marijuana use, beneficiaries of the TANF program, that's Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, that's what they call a welfare program out there in Colorado,
right,
have withdrawn money from their EBT cards inside of marijuana stores. They've withdrawn a total of over $23,000 all told. There's no way really to prove whether all the money went to buy pot, because a lot of these establishments don't just sell pot. They also sell groceries. So it could have gone for, you know, corn and cabbage, things like that.
Or bongs.
Well, why? I mean, I don't understand. What is the reason by that they can get cash back? I mean, I can understand, you know, they having the plastic and using that. But how is it that they can get cash back and spend that on anything else? That's what, you know, mystifies me.
Yeah, apparently the cards work kind of like a debit card would work at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Where if you get a credit card purchase, you can't get cash back from that. But
right,
if you use the debit card, it allows you to withdraw a certain amount when you make any purchase.
All right. And
they're looking to crack down on that. They want the Colorado State Board of Human Services says, you know what, we're going to have to restrict the use of these cards at marijuana shops, bars, liquor stores, gambling establishments, and other potentially inappropriate venues.
You would think so. I mean, it's one thing to give out welfare. It's another thing to have them go out and gambling with it. David?
Yeah, it's, you know, the welfare, it all starts with
bad
that,
enough,
with
yeah,
giving out the welfare.
All right, it looks like we have caller Reno on the line. Reno, thank you for calling this afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing excellent. And yourself?
Hey, not too bad. I was interested in your conversation I've been listening to regarding the voters.
Yes.
Not voting for a Republican, or maybe sliding to Democrat, or vice versa.
Correct.
And I've been wanting to give my opinion for some time. I'm a registered independent.
Okay.
And I'm a conservative. I'm willing to go wherever the conservative thought process goes. I left the Republican Party several years ago, and I don't probably won't belong to a party the rest of my life. I'm truly an independent. But I hear a lot of people say that for independents, you know, a vote for the Tea Party is just a distraction from the Republican and probably is a vote for the Democrat. I've heard that talked around a lot.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't believe that's the case. I think that the reason the Republican Party is losing its base is because it is no longer
a conservative party.
It's no longer a conservative party.
Yeah.
And what people like myself will eventually succeed in doing is replacing the conventional Republican Party with a viable party that feels the way they do.
I
feel strongly about it. Anyone that is not going to vote Republican because they don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils, I encourage it.
Well, I do too.
We need to bring it on.
You know, I do too, Reno. As far as I'm concerned, no vote that you actually use is a wasted vote or given in the wrong place as long as you're deliberating how to vote. The only wasted votes are by people who don't go out and vote. Those are the wasted votes. And in terms of the evolution of the party, I think that that is going to happen. I think that it's not going to be a revolutionary thing, but it'll be sort of an evolutionary thing. But in fact, you're correct in that not just with the Republicans, but with the Democrats, too. They are
absolutely
also losing amongst their ranks, and the people are either becoming no party affiliation, independents, sometimes confusing that with no party affiliation, mm-hmm. Or libertarian. And it's because they're looking for something, as Lair said, in essence, they want some party out there that will actually, doggone it, represent them and not big government or big government light. So you're on the right track, and all I can do is applaud you, not only in your actions, but certainly in your logic that you're using to follow it with, because...
This next election, I will vote for a true conservative. If no party can offer me one, I'll write in my own name and vote for myself.
Good
this
for you.
How strong I feel about it.
Yeah, amen. You know, and David's sitting right here. He's nodding his head. Good for you. You know, he's a libertarian. He's obviously trying to get people to the Libertarian Party. But the main thing is to vote your conscience and don't feel like you have to vote for somebody.
Absolutely.
It's just because they're a certain party or whatever.
Right.
All right. Just wanted to speak my piece. I'll let you guys go. Thanks.
Hey Reno, are you familiar with our product, Roxy Pacifics, our sponsor's product?
No, I'm not.
Well, it's an antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, and they'd like to send you a bottle for free if you'd like to.
Best thing for your skin you can ever put on it.
That's right.
All right, I'll take that.
All right, well, stay on the line, and Nicholas Cicero will get your information, and you'll have that in a mere few days.
I appreciate it.
I can vouch for it. I used my bottle up already. Hint, hint.
Well, you should have spoke up. We'll get you some more. All right, okay. Let's quickly go to Rick, who has two questions for David. Nostradamus, we're going to have to hold those other two stories for tomorrow because we only have 2.5 minutes left, and I want to give Rick these questions.
You know what? Can I just jump in and say that the U.S. used to be a two-party system? This is nothing new. These Republicans came along and made the Whig Party
obsolete.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with, just like the free market system, with parties coming and going.
Kind of like moving your dealership to a better part of town, isn't it? All right, thank you, Nostradamus. All right, Rick, thank you for calling. Your first question, please, make it brief.
Yeah, two brief questions, and then I'll hang up. Number one, why is Governor Scott claiming jobs he didn't really create?
Same reason Obama is. No, number two.
Well, no, I wanted to ask him. And
all right, go ahead.
Number two, every time I see these authorities going in and cutting down marijuana plants in someone's home, don't you think that's big government? And I'll hang up and see what it is.
Well, I think to your second question is the easy answer. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we do see that as big government. This is what I was trying to say to Eva before. When you allow big government to get down and, you know, into your business of your life, you take the bad with the good. And if we're willing to go with prohibition, then you're going to have to be willing to allow the cops to kick your doors in.
That's right. And then one thing leads to another.
Exactly.
So first they come in and they feel like they have the right to break down your door because you might have a pot plant in there.
Exactly.
Next thing you know, they're taking your stereo, they're taking your, you know, what cash you might have in a drawer, they take your vehicle.
And they're putting you and they're putting everybody under surveillance in order to adequately police the trafficking of drugs.
Yeah, all for what? For a plant.
Exactly. It is the route to a big government, the quickest way to big government. That's why prohibition was one of the first amendments to the Constitution that the progressives passed. All right, we're just about out of time, but in terms of Rick Scott and his claims to job creation, any politician that claims he's created a job is a liar to you. Politicians do not create jobs at all, none of them, zip, zero, nada.
Businesses.
Exactly, businesses. Now, he has created a better business environment in the state of Florida. I would argue marginally, but nonetheless, it is a better business environment. Going to have to leave it there as far as that goes.
That's right, Rick. Thanks for calling in there, guy. Folks, American Adversaries are going to wind it down for another day. We'd like to thank David for coming by here, David Levitt, with Refresh Computers for helping us out today. That was great. He's also in charge of how localized are you as far as charge of the Libertarian Party here?
I'm the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Seminole County, also the Region 7 rep for the state of Florida.
And that Seminole County Party Seminole County Party meets every second Wednesday at
the Patio Grill in Sanford.
It's a great place to eat, too.
7 p.m.
You got it. Folks, we will be back tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. Don't miss us.
Danny McKnight.